The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Cliff Kingsbury has been fired by the Cardinals, no surprise. Tonight is the national championship game in college football. We will have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things around the college scene. That is coming up on today's show as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. Start banking better and getting more with free checking from Desert Financial. Join a winning team at desertfinancial.com. Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their support. So the Cardinals fire another coach, and it's the right move. This, again, the owner last March said, I am going to extend Cliff Kingsbury, and I am going to extend Steve Keim, and I am going to extend Kyler Murray because I know what I'm doing. And once again, your Cardinals, 4-13, seven straight losses. Like yesterday's game was just, oh, it was so bad. And it's a lot of it is that the NFL thinks it's great to add a 17th game. And I'm looking around the landscape of the NFL yesterday, a lot of these quarterbacks in particular, and it's just mincemeat by the end of the season. And they're trying to get it done behind an offensive line, and yet players are just trying to not get hurt, and you're just trying to get out of the way and get it over with. And the other side is San Francisco looks like a team that could be playing here in the Super Bowl. So I remember last year, the owner here in town talked about how, you know, track record shows team could be in the Super Bowl. The owner had it all figured out. And instead, everything that happened this last year is just a microcosm. I've been here since 93. Nothing really changes. Nothing really changes. Occasionally, you'll have a Bruce Arians run, and then he'll be like, I'm tired of this. You have a Ken Wisenhunt run, and that ran out, and you get to the one Super Bowl. And what is the common denominator through all of it? Through all of it. It's the owner. And so the owner is not going to go anywhere. The owner is not going to sell the team. The owner, this has been, I think I saw where Adam Schefter said this is the, in the history of the Arizona Cardinals over 100 years, they've never had a coach make it for more than six seasons. That's a them problem, okay? I don't want to hear about, well, look at the Cowboys. If you are a Cardinal fan, man, you are, when I talk, I go out and I do speaking engagements. And I'll walk into a room, doesn't matter if it's 10 people or 10,000 people. How many of you are diehard Cardinal fans? You know? Yeah, you've died hard. But I'm bump. And so when something like this goes down, you just kind of say, you know, okay, nothing to see here, really. We're going to move on. But what is next? What is that? What was Cliff Kingsbury's legacy here? Kyler and Cliff came in. Kyler's not going to be ready to start next season. Whoever the next coach is, they've got to be in a space to rescue Kyler Murray. Cliff's legacy was, you know, a lot of it was just PR nonsense. Remember draft night where they had him as the cool guy sitting at his condo and in Scottsdale, and of course, social media picked up on, oh, this is so cool. And my football friends are people that I've known in the business from when I used to be on the ground day in and day out, just laughed. They just laughed at what was going on out here. Like, that's embarrassing. I know. Yes, it is. And then when you have to do Hard Knocks, and I did not watch one episode, did not watch 1 second, couldn't even tell you when it aired, because if you want to deflect from garbage, you go do PR things. If you want to make it all about you, you go do things like Hard Knocks. And no interest in that. I would like to be a team. I would like to have a team in town that I knew year in and year out was being run the right way. Okay, when Seattle starts to take a nosedive, Pete Carroll somehow gets together with his owner and they say, we got to move on from Russell Wilson. And we're going to take a king's ransom. People are like, oh, man, the Seahawks are going to take a big step back. Geno Smith can't play. Well, here are the Seahawks. They're in the postseason because they hit on a whole bunch of their draft picks. When the 49ers were really circling the drain, and they decided that the last pick in the NFL draft this year, they're going to take a quarterback that nobody else thought was worth it. And, yeah, Brock has a lot of talent around him. But you are no joke if you're going to go out and run through the post, through the end of the regular season, lead your team into the postseason, and be undefeated, which Brock Purdy has been. They hit on a seventh-round pick. Here in Arizona, our hometown heroes, who have they really hit on? Okay, unless you're the agent of said player, unless you're a family member of said player, or if you're on the payroll and the check reads Arizona Cardinals, not too many people that are going to show grace and give leeway about the nonsense that we've seen here. Not too many people are going to do that. Nor should they. So you can fire Cliff and you can get Vance Joseph be brought in. Just move him over from the defensive side of the football. And you could say, well, that's somebody who already knows the culture. He had some head coaching experience at Denver. Didn't work out. You could go put whoever you want as the general manager. At the end of the day, what is the common denominator? 100 years of the Cardinals being in business, and no head coach has made it through 6 years. None. Zero. And how many Super Bowl wins do they have to show? Wins. How many Super Bowl appearances? And people are like, man, you really hate them. No, I don't. I'm just kind of like, guys, it's the obvious deal here. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's the owner that's the problem, and the owner's not going anywhere, so we're stuck. We're stuck. Now, the owner's done a good job in getting the Super Bowl to come here a couple of times. Got to give him credit for that. And occasionally, they manage to stumble and fumble their way into a postseason game. But even the stuff with Kyler Murray that went on this year, it's just... To think that somebody within the organization would float it out there, the detail of his contract, and they would have to deal with that, or on draft night, because of a PED deal with DeAndre Hopkins, they had to change their whole move around and have to take a wide, trade for a wide receiver with your first round pick. And then you just go back to, well, they could have DK Metcalf, but they took Andy Isabella two picks before him. That position probably would have been solid for years to come. And we go on and on and on. And after a while, it's just noise. It's just like, okay, we'll just move on. I get it. If without gambling, without fantasy football, the NFL is just kind of like, eh. Like, I was entertained this weekend watching the games. I sat on my back patio on Saturday night and watched Jacksonville play Tennessee. Very entertaining game. There's this kid named Christian Kirk. You might have heard of him. He's pretty good. He's actually really good. If he'd stayed here, hometown kid, probably wouldn't have had to do what they did with their first round pick. And it just goes on and on and on. So there's that. Why would Sean Payton come to Arizona? Okay. There's going to be people that are going to do hours and hours of analysis. And why would Sean Payton, what is the most attractive part of this job in Arizona? What is it? Well, there's only 32 jobs. All right. Somebody's going to want it. If you're a guy like Sean Payton and Denver's open today, I'm sure Indianapolis is going to come open. I'm sure that New Orleans could figure it back out to bring him in with Tom Brady along his side. I'm sure there's other places, but what is it about Arizona that is so much better than these other positions? I'm asking the question. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm sitting there, my agent says to me, okay, here's Arizona, here's Denver, here's Indianapolis, here's fill in the blank, here's fill in the blank, okay, Carolina. All right, now let's look at these jobs. And okay, so we have the owners. What are the owners like? What is the culture like? Who is the general manager? What do they have in terms of resource? Cardinals have a top five draft pick. Their quarterback has been a disappointment as the number one overall pick. There's no other way to put it. They have a roster that you just figure J.J. Watt's gone. You figure A.J. Green is gone. It's two veteran guys that were just towards the end of their careers. You have a guy like Buda Baker that's as good as anybody at his position. Okay, we've got to rebuild our defensive line. All right, that's going to take 3-4 players. All right, we have to build our offensive line. Okay, that's going to take 6-7 players because of injuries. All right, what else do we have? What tight end? Zach Ertz going to be back next season. We think he's going to be. Is Trey McBride developing into a very good tight end? All right, at running back. Okay, we have James Conner. He's taken some hits. He was productive. Wasn't as productive as he was a year ago. Nobody expected him to do that. All right, what else do we have there at running back? You know, we let Chase Edmonds go. You know, Benjamin got blown out. You know, what are we going to do there at running back? So you just go through each position. And you say, okay, I can go to Arizona and I can win. Okay, I've got an owner there and a track record. Like, anybody who's going to say, yeah, we're not even going to talk about the owner. We're not going to look at the owner. You know, this isn't, that's crazy. You put yourself in your line of business. Whatever it is your business is, you're not going to be like, well, okay, tell me about the owner here. Because he's going to get paid, whoever it is. They're going to get paid. That part's easy. You're going to have a new general manager. Is it a general manager that is going to make this hire? You know, is Michael going to say today, we've let Steve Keim move on. He's moving on in his life. He is done here with the organization, or we're going to put him in a new role. Here's who our general manager is going to be, or are we going to get today? We're going to get a lot of today when they do talk. We're going to be methodical about this. We're going to look at all options. You know, should we look at Jim Harbaugh? Are we going to go again to a college coach who went to the NFL? Is he a guy that would be able to get it done as a head coach in Arizona because he's been in the NFL? Like, I don't know. But I'm sure Jim Harbaugh's name is going to come up too. And then you could throw it all together and you can change out the coach all you want. Change out GM all you want. Doesn't matter if it's Bob Ferguson, Rod Graves, or today. The constant is the owner, and that's just a fact. So I have very little sympathy for what's going on over there because I've been around bad organizations and bad owners. I covered Donald Sterling in San Diego when I first broke into this. The Cardinals don't have a good owner. It's not a swipe. It's pretty obvious, is actually. Well, but the Cowboys, I don't care about the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't here. My own backyard. So you may want me to bring out the sledgehammer on this. The late, great Joe Gilmartin told me one time, big guy, you got to know when to bring out the fly swatter, and you got to know when to bring out the sledgehammer. The sledgehammer's been brought out so many times, the Cardinals just don't get it. They just don't get it, and they don't care, I don't believe. They don't care. Well, this shows they do. No. Everything in the last year, what an absolute disaster. And it's not going to get over with anytime soon because let's say it's Sean Payton. And let's say Sean Payton's like, you know what? I don't think we can win with Kyler Murray. You know, Sean Payton comes here, he brings Tom Brady to, oh my gosh, we have Tom Brady's at the end of the road. So I'm not going to lose my mind over Kliff being fired. It's been pretty evident that the last few years have been a bleep show, and I don't like bleep shows at all. Now, the Suns. Let me just get over to this because they're at 20-21 now. It's halfway mark of the season, and they're below 500. And I'm not upset about it because it's pretty obvious when you take away all the players, and you can't just snap a finger. I was on a show this morning, and they were suggesting, one of the hosts was suggesting, that they just go sign a guard. That doesn't do anything. You're not going to find much sitting here in the middle of January that's going to get this thing turned around. And so they play, what is it? They play Denver, and they're just in a space where right now they don't have much and they've got to fight through it. You can't wave the white flag. They're still in the playoffs. It's halfway through the season. Yeah, they're going to have to play lights out second half, but it's one of those deals. I think they're 5.5 back in the top spot. So you know, a lot of mediocrity in the NBA. I was encouraged by what I saw from Arizona State. You know, they're 13-3. They're 4-1 on the basketball court. U of A losing to Washington State's not a big deal. And GCU losing to Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F. Austin's a good team. I think we're going to have all three teams. I believe we're going to have all three teams, if they continue on this trajectory, playing in the NCAA tournament this year, which would be great. It would be great. And I don't believe that any of the three are national championship teams as we sit right now. U of A's perimeter shooting is not great. And Mathurin is not here this year to bail them out. And Coloco is not here this year on the inside. Balo's fine enough, but he wasn't very good against Washington State. That caught my eye. And then I watched a lot of golf. Nothing like the PGA Tour in Kapalua, watching John Rahm down six on the 13th hole to rally and come back and just have golf with beautiful views at 8 o'clock at night. Well, I've got a fire and a cigar in my back patio and I'm watching some football and I'm watching some. That was awesome. Saturday was awesome. It was so great. All right. Wilner is next. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He steers this ship. Our content is over at sports360az.com. The Football AZ show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, airs 12 times this week on Bally Sports. We are excited to launch Brad Sussmat Spring Training AZ baseball show that has been picked up by six regions around the Bally networks. It will launch this Thursday. And we're back with more after this timeout. Now, to start out the new year, we lead off with a heavy hitter, John Wilner. Wilner Hotline, because look, tonight's a national championship game, and I have to lead with you on the show because we want to get into that, and also things around the Pac-12 conference. I guess first, John, the idea of TCU a year ago, if you and I had been doing this a year ago, and I would have said, you know, next year TCU is going to be playing the national championship game, I think you would have said, have you been nipping on the cooking cherry or something? Are you surprised Indeed. By this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, TCU was picked to finish in the bottom half of the Big 12. It's the biggest surprise story in the playoff era by far, right? I mean, TCU didn't win the Big 12. Kansas State won the Big 12 championship game, right? TCU was undefeated at that point, so they still got in the playoff. And then, you know, they took advantage. Michigan threw, what, two pick sixes, fumbled the goal line, and that's going to be the formula TCU has to follow tonight, right, in order to have a chance to beat Georgia. They're going to need help, I think. If Georgia plays a, you know, an error-free game, it's awfully hard to see TCU winning.
So did you cover – I'm sure you covered Coach Dykes when he was at Cal.
Yep.
So did you see this type of going upward in his career, not to the point of a championship, but when you walked away from that guy, closed up your notebook on your car, it's like, you know what, that guy's going to be really good. Or is it just, Brad, he was at Cal. He had no shot. We really couldn't see what he could do.
Well, I mean, certainly Cal has a lot of challenges, right? And he was a – I thought he was a terrible fit for Cal from the start. That doesn't mean he's a bad coach at all. He had won at Louisiana Tech, and his offense could produce points, but he was not right for Cal. And I think he realized that soon after he got there, that it was going to be a real struggle. And it's been a real struggle for lots of coaches at Cal. But I think he has matured as a coach, and he's at a place where, you know, the recruiting pool and the whole everything about the institution just works for who he is. He's a good coach who was miscast at Cal.
John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline. You can check out all of his content. Follow him at Wilner Hotline on Twitter. Of course, we carry the Wilner Hotline content on sports360az.com. We appreciate John joining us week in, week out. He's also part of the Wilner Canzano podcast. We lead with Wilner, not Canzano. So there.
Thank you.
Sure. And just make sure you guys give that a listen. All right. Around the conference, I know it's supposed to be a period of time where there's not a whole lot going on, but there's a lot going on. I was talking to some assistant coaches over the weekend. John, they're using the term shotgun recruiting now. That's what they're in because of the portal and that it just changes on a dime. Are you sensing that we are now really seeing portal in full effect? At almost 2 years into it?
No question. And it's been like that since whatever it was, December 4th or 5th, right? The day after the portal opened, the day after the bowl games were announced, or in early December. And it is open until I think it's January 18th, 17th, 18th, right in there. And that time period overlaps with the NFL draft decisions, coaching staff changes, and the early signing window. And so it's a six-week period of complete chaos. And I think a lot of people in college football, you know, the behind the scenes, they want to kind of, they want to change the calendar so that all these things don't come to a head during this 6-week period, because it's tough for the coaches and it's real tough for the athletes that have to make all these decisions, life-changing decisions, with so much going on. So it is total chaos. And then the portal will close. It reopens in May after spring practices. And that kind of, that stretch gives everybody a chance to kind of reset, but it is, it's total mayhem. And now with the changes in the scholarship rules, you could bring in 30 or 40 new players. It's no longer just, you know, you can, your freshman class is maxed out at 25. I mean, Colorado, ASU teams that change coaches, they could have 40 new guys on their rosters. They could have 18 starters who weren't even on the team last year. It's totally bananas.
Okay, so let me back up to something you said in there, and that is the way that the calendar is laid out, that it opens around the 5th or 6th, and trying to sort through this. You know, you and I have all the answers. So let's just go.
Sure.
Bowls are announced. The portal opens, but these kids don't know who their coaches are going to be or position coaches because the season has just ended. You can't put in a space where, okay, between the 5th and the 15th, coaching staffs have to be assembled. 10 days, that's not going to work. So if you keep it as is, it is going to continue to be chaos, but it just feels like you got to get your coaching staff set first. Do you open the portal in mid-December? Well, like today at Arizona State, classes start today. So you have to get to figured out where kids could go to class and get class started. I don't see where you could get the two at a better space than what they currently have unless you just shorten the window, John. Do you have a suggestion or a thought?
Well, no, you're right about that. And the coach, and we're seeing more in-season coaching changes, right? Because the schools feel like they need time with early signing on basically December 20th, transfer portal December 5th. They feel like they have to at least have the head coach in place. So if there's any doubt, they're firing head coaches during the season. And that's a whole nother dynamic. I think what they may end up doing is changing the early signing window. Right now, it's 3 days before Christmas. And, you know, even if they move that back into January, it would at least give the schools, you know, more time to settle on their coaching situations first. Plus, you got bowl games, right? If you're playing in a bowl game before Christmas, you're trying to prepare for that game and recruit and deal with the transfer portal. So I think the thing in that is most likely to change is moving the early signing date back a little bit, and maybe they move the February date back as well. I don't know, but something has got to give. And when they, I don't mean to ramble, but when the playoff starts, the expanded playoff starts in 2024, and there are first round playoff games on the second or third Saturday of December, it's going to be even more chaotic.
Okay, but there's been conversation, correct me on this, but I think I've talked to Tommy Luganville about this. I think I've talked to Neuheisel about this, Brock Huard. Having a signing period in August before it all starts for the high schoolers seems like one way to go. Get that out of the way. Have that other signing period, keep it where it is in February. I don't know the purpose of the December one, other than it just gives more content for guys like us. And it's really, the kids can sign before their season starts. They could play their season. There's none of this December stuff that opens up, to your point. And in February, was it the first Tuesday in February or Wednesday is always assigned it. Keep those two dates. I don't like the May window because that just invites chaos for coaches and kids. Kid doesn't like being coached hard. Kid sees that he's fourth string. He's immediately going to jump out. That's not a good message. You got to fight through adversity, don't you? Or is it just, no, you know what? I'm here at Alabama. I can pretty much tell I'm not going to play. I can go over here to Michigan State and get on the field right away this coming season. I just don't like that, where it's so easy for them to pull the ripcord. Am I too old school on this?
No, I don't think you are. It's just, it's hard to enforce, you know, coaches can leave at any moment. So it's hard to tell the players they can't do the same. Now it is a one-time free transfer, right? So, you know, all the players that have transferred the last 2 years, they're done, right? They've got to, they've got to apply for a waiver if they want to transfer for a second time, unless you're a graduate student. The graduate students have to continue to have free transfers. So I don't know what they're going to do. You know, there are some benefits to moving the early signing window into August, but there's a lot of coaches that are against that, one, because they're supposed to, that would interrupt training camp and their summer vacations, mm-hmm. right? Most coaches try to take a break in July. And also I think that there's a lot of sense that puts too much pressure on the players to make decisions really early. Coaches won't have the fall of the senior year to evaluate talent, so they would have to be committing to players before they have seen enough of them on the field. I'm not sure that, you know, even though there's some support for that, I don't know that that'll ultimately fly. I think that they're going to have to just move the early signing window back into December, and maybe they move the late signing window to March 1st instead of February 1st.
Before I get you out of here, basketball. So we saw U of A get surprised by Washington State over the weekend in Tucson. Saw Bobby Hurley's team get it together for a couple of more victories. You know, John, I like the direction that Bobby's going. I still think when I watch them play, there's a hello, my name is tag that's got to be on some of these players. They're so from so many different parts. And we are just in the early part of January. The other side of it is, with UCLA leaving in a couple of weeks, we have the UCLA-Arizona game, which I think is one of the top 10 but college basketball rivalries out there. Is UCLA where they need to be as you're sitting here in early January? Do you see a team that has a potential of, let's go, Elite Eight? Because that hasn't been Final Four in a long time on a consistent basis.
Yeah, no, I do. I think that they're more athletic, partly because of freshman Amari Bailey. They're more athletic than they have been, and I think that will serve them well in the NCAA tournament. Just the ability to, you know, not rely on the offense to generate good shots, but just to create, right? That's super important in the NCAA tournament when everybody is playing locked-in defense. Mm-hmm. So I think UCLA is in great shape for a deep run. Arizona, certainly you watch them and you wonder if they've got enough on the perimeter to be able to win four games in March. I'm not sure that they do. They're a little bit erratic. Certainly they're not as good as they were last year with Mathurin on the perimeter. And you don't see teams that are in, you know, front court dominated usually doing that well. It's a guards game. So we'll see how Arizona does. That's a great rivalry. And certainly those are the two best teams, I think, in the conference. It doesn't seem to me much doubt about that. And the only two teams that we can say at this point are locks for the NCAA tournament. The Pac-12 could end up with just two teams, Arizona and UCLA, the way things are going. Utah is not a lock at all. ASU's on the bubble. So it's going to be real interesting if the Pac-12 goes into eat-your-own mode the next 2 months. It could end up with a shortage of tournament bids.
That's John Wilner. You can check out all of his content. Follow him on Twitter at Wilner Hotline. We carry his content at sports360az.com. And we have John on the television show as well. We appreciate his partnership. John, we'll see you next week.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.